Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? And we'll... Paul told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. So wherever they're the type, there's an antitype. So we know that if we discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have healing and health in our body. God gave us the communion for a very specific reason, and it's for our healing, our health. Now, the way to discern the body of Christ is to look at this bread and see Jesus in that bread. He is the body of Christ. And see Him in His death, in His passion, and on the cross, and everything. So we look at this bread and we see that this bread has been made without yeast. Jesus' body is certainly without sin, and He always was without sin. He always will be without sin. See, yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. So we look at this bread, we see that it's been beaten and pounded flat. Well, the Bible tells us that He was beaten for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And you look at this bread, you'll see that there are stripes in this bread. The Bible tells us that it's by His stripes we were healed. Our healing was paid for before our sins were. We look at this bread and we see that it has been pierced. And the Bible tells us that He was pierced not only with the Roman spear through His side when He was on the cross, but He got piercing in His head when He got the crown of thorns. He got pierced in His hands when He was nailed to the cross. He got pierced in His feet when He was nailed to the cross. And the major thing to understand is that every time Jesus shed His blood, He paid for us to have redemption in some area. And you look at this bread, you'll see that it's been slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. So we're taken to this broken body and we're receiving our healing in the name of Jesus. And we thank You for it. The blood of Jesus is so pure. It's absolutely so pure to the point it has absolutely no sin in it. That's why the blood of Jesus never dies. Our blood, if we scratch ourselves, will come to the surface and soon dry up. Because our blood is tainted with sin. It doesn't matter how wonderful a person you are before you get born again. There's one fact that you cannot get away from. You have Adam's blood coursing through your veins. That means you have need for a Savior. Once we get born again, we get the blood of Jesus applied to our lives. It washes away our sins. And 1 John 1:7 tells us that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. The only way it can do that is for it to never die. Praise God, we have a wonderful Savior. Amen. All right. I visit with a lot of people in my day-to-day travels. And what's that? Well, anyway, I've noticed that there's some of them that are excited about their future, and there's some of them that are doom and gloom about their future. And there's one reason, and only one reason, it's because of their focus. Your present day reality is a direct result of what you focused on. It's not Biden's fault. It's not Putin's fault. It's not even China's fault. It's not the economy's fault. It's not anybody else's fault. But it's a direct result of what you focused on. Let that sink in for just a little bit. How many of you honestly had a really, really good rocking year? This was an awesome year. Yeah. I mean, this thing was loaded with blessings. It was loaded with challenges, but it was blessed by our Creator like nothing I've ever seen in my life. Now I run into people that say the world's going to end tomorrow. And they're down. They feel bad. They don't want to do anything. They just want to give up and quit. I need a victim, a volunteer. Trevor.
No.
Come on. Be a sport.
No.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
No.
Don't make me order you to be voluntold.
No.
I need a volunteer. Somebody. Please come and help me. Come on, somebody. All right, come on up here. Stand right in front of me. All right. Tell me what you see.
Looking at the back of a picture. Back of a picture, blank screen.
That's it?
I see your hands and top of your head.
I see a steeple with a beautiful dove and a cross and a nice sky.
Hmm. Not what I'm seeing.
But we're looking at the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, what you focus on.
Are you done with me?
Yeah. What you focus on is going to be what becomes your reality. So the disciples were in the boat and Jesus told them to go across. He told them to go across. And they got out there and they got in trouble. They got in a storm. And Jesus walked out on water. And Peter said, "If it's you, bid me to come." And he said, "Come." So Peter jumped out of the water, or jumped out of the boat, and he's walking on water. He was walking on water. Now there was 12 disciples in that boat, wasn't there? But only one of them jumped out of the boat. One of them took God at his word and jumped out on that boat, walked on water. Now get this. Peter was looking at Jesus. He was walking on water. It doesn't tell us that he was having any struggle or any challenges. He was just walking on water. He had his focus on Jesus. He had his focus on the Word of God. When you focus on the promises of God and you focus on the Word of God, guess what's going to happen? You're going to walk through life victoriously. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be wind and waves. See, there was wind and waves. Peter was walking on water, but there was wind and waves. The minute he got his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the wind and the waves, he started sinking. What would be your wind and waves? The economy? Not knowing exactly what's going to happen tomorrow? Not knowing, you know, what America is going to do with $37 trillion of debt? Wondering what they're going to do with 80,000 extra IRS agents? And then you get to focusing on these states that are trying to take Trump off the ballot. See, those are wind and waves. That's looking at the problems and not the answer. See, when you look at the problem, your life is going to get gloomy. When you focus on the problem, your life is going to get gloomy and you're going to start getting down. You're going to get depressed. I run into people all the time. I ask them, how's it going? And they just start, they're down. They're tore up. And I say, well, what's going on? And they start talking about the problem. You know, Jesus never did tell you to talk about the problem. He said, you speak to that mountain, tell it to be removed and cast into the sea. He didn't say anywhere in there where he told you to talk about that mountain. But there's people running around talking about their mountains, talking about their wind and their waves. Seldomly do I run into somebody that says, that starts telling me how they've been talking to their mountain, and they tell me about their Lord and Savior. Occasionally they'll say, well, God's in control. Yes, but that's a cop-out. Did you know that? That is a cop-out. That's placing all the blame on God. Did you know that He gave you dominion on this earth? He gave you power and authority on this earth? See, we have a part to play in this. Did you know that we're winning? The devil's not winning. We're winning. The devil is declining to an end. I see it every day. I see it every day. I see things that he wanted to do that he's not doing. It's going to be a glorious future. I'm telling you, it's going to be absolutely exciting. Nothing like we've ever experienced in our history. This is going to be such a wonderful event. Now, you can get excited and get ready for it, or you can sit around and pout and worry about it, but it's still going to happen. But here's the thing. Reality. What is reality? To find out what true reality is, we need to start with the priesthood. Look at Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. See, that's the important thing, isn't it? Look to Jesus. Just like Peter did. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 says, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. See, the priesthood of Jesus. When Jesus died and rose again, He became our high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Why Melchizedek? You know, the thing about Melchizedek, the first time we see him in the Bible, is he showed up there to talk to Abraham after the slaughter of the kings. And he come out there, and the very first thing that Melchizedek said to Abraham was, "Blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth." That's the very first thing out of Melchizedek's mouth was, "Blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth." Well, that's just it. The order of Melchizedek gives to man. The Aaronic priesthood takes. See, under the law, which is the Aaronic priesthood, you had to follow these certain laws, all these laws and traditions and all these things that they had for you to do in order to be righteous before God. You had to fulfill all these things in order to be blessed. And if you didn't follow those to a T, then according to the law, something could be taken away from you. Something would be taken away from you. Sometimes even to the point of death. That's the Aaronic priesthood. See, we have a lot of people that are born again that are running around worried that God's going to take something from them because if they make a mistake, then God's going to have to punish them and take something from them. You need to understand this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says that he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. What's the curse of the law? That means if you break the law, then you get punished. Something gets taken away from you. But you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. The only way that you get punished for breaking the law is by trying to live according to the law. You're under grace. You're in a covenant of grace. You're not supposed to be trying to keep the law. Now, this doesn't mean that gives you a license to go out there and be an idiot and break all the laws that they got. That's not what it means. If you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness that Jesus has given you, you rule and reign over that. You won't be breaking the laws. You just won't. You'll be so wrapped up in Christ that you won't want to go sleep with your neighbor's wife. Now, doesn't that make sense? You'll be so wrapped up in Christ that you won't want to go steal your neighbor's cow. You'll be so wrapped up in Christ that you won't want to go do the things that the law says not to do. You won't want to do them anyway. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, verse 14. When Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. He divided himself against them, and he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. He brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the kings of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is of the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed of Abraham, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies out of thine hand and gave him tithes of all. Now, because of this, we have Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. But before we go to Hebrews chapter 4, I want to talk about this. A lot of people talk about Abraham or Melchizedek as being just some kind of guy that, you know, maybe just like a mystery. Because they don't ever talk about his mom and dad. They don't ever talk about his lineage. He's just somebody that just showed up. They think, they act like he just came from heaven. No, he was a real man on this earth. He was a real man on this earth. But when they talk about lineage, that's to go back to prove your Aaronic priesthood. So Jesus had to fulfill the law, every jot and tittle. And they showed his lineage completely. But did you know that not everybody in Jesus' lineage was Hebrew? Some got proselyted in. There was some kind of questionable characters in there. But Jesus' priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus fulfilled the law so he could set us free from the law. Let's look at Hebrews chapter. But did you notice that Abraham or that Melchizedek, that priesthood gives blessings? You know, a curious thing about Abraham is he cut a covenant with God. He cut a covenant with God. And it was a covenant of grace. Because Abraham got blessed mightily. He got blessed mightily. Abraham didn't do everything right. Did you know that? Abraham was focused on the promises of God. He believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness, which means right standing. You know, Job had a covenant too. Job had a covenant with God. What did Job focus on? He focused on what his kids were doing. He focused on, man, I think my kids are making mistakes. You know, he continually cut sacrifices for his kids, and he focused on that. That's what he focused on. And then tragedy hit, and he said, the thing that I feared has come upon me. We had two different people there with the covenant, with God. One of them focused on the negative, and one of them focused on God. One of them lost everything he had, and one of them got blessed beyond measure. Now, Job repented, and he got blessed with more and better quality of what he had before the tragedy hit. See, sometimes we can get focused on the wrong thing, but you can still repent. I mean, you change your mind and you get focused back on the right thing and turn things around. Amen? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let me get back over there now. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Aaronic priesthood was not that approachable. In fact, you could get in pretty big trouble if you were the wrong person coming to that priest, especially if you touched him, especially a woman. But because of the blood of Jesus, we can go boldly into the throne room of grace. right into the presence of God Almighty Himself and receive mercy and grace. Because the thing is God sees you not the way you think He sees you. He sees you covered in the blood. He sees you through a veil of the blood of Jesus. When He looks according to you, He's looking at the sacrifice of Jesus. He sees that sacrifice as being perfect. That's how He sees you, as perfect. When you're wondering how God may see you, don't look at yourself in the mirror and say, "What a wreck." Look to Jesus, your high priest. The Bible tells us that as He is now, so are we in this world. How do you suppose God sees Jesus? Perfect. That's the way He sees you. How much do you suppose God loves Jesus? All the way. That's how much He loves you. In fact, He loves you with the same love that He loves Jesus with. See, it's by focusing on these things, this is what's going to change your reality in this world and cause you to have a good year, regardless of what the idiots around you may be doing. But you will have to change your tongue. You know, the Bible tells us in the beginning there was darkness. And you don't find anywhere in the Bible where God talks about the darkness. He just said, "Let there be light." What did He do? He called things that weren't as though they were. He spoke what He wanted into reality. You know, a little while later, He said, "Let us create man in our image." You've been created in His image. You're in the God class. You are a speaking spirit. You are a spirit. You're going to say something. You just will say something that counts for the positive. So instead of talking about your problem, talking about your challenges, talking about everything that's not right, talking about everything that's wrong, finding somebody else to blame for your problem, and doing everything in the world except for taking up your position in Christ and start calling things that aren't as though they are, talking to your mountain, start speaking blessings over your situation, that's how you got to do it. You're going to create your own reality whether you like it or not. The Bible tells us that a man's belly will be blessed with the fruit of his lips. I mean, what you say is going to come to fruit in your life. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin last night, or night before last, he's preaching. And he said he got an urgent prayer request. And they had to go down to the hospital to talk to this young man that was in the hospital. He was getting ready to die. And Kenneth had been praying, and all of a sudden he said, "You know, there's things that have been spoken in the spirit that are natural, that are spiritual law. Let him go." And so Kenneth told this guy's pastor that. And then they started talking to his brother. No, told his brother what God had told him. And his brother just kind of jolted. And he said, "Yeah, he said he was not going to live to see 40. All the time. They told his mom that. She said, "Yeah, he always said that. He said he was not going to live to see 40. What happened? He spoke his reality into existence, and he didn't live to see 40. You speak spiritual laws into existence with the words of your own mouth. Whether you like to believe it or not, that's your reality. Well, I believe this. Yeah, but what are you saying? What you focus on is what's going to come out of your mouth. If you focus on how the devil's winning, how the devil's doing this, how he's getting away with that, how he's doing this over here, how he's doing that over there, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start speaking that. Well, if you focus on how God's winning, how he did this over here, look at the good things he's doing over here, look at what he's doing over there, look at what he's doing over here, look at what he's going to do, look at what he promised me. He said, this is what he's going to do to me, this is what he's going to do for me. You're going to believe the word of God, and guess what's going to happen? God's going to account that to you for righteousness the same way he did Abraham. And since you're under the blood of Jesus, you're already in right standing with him. Those promises are even easier for you to attain than they were for Abraham. We got a better covenant than he had. Built on better promises with Jesus, our high priest, watching over his will to make sure it gets done on our behalf. Was blessed. Melchizedek's order is just that, blessing. Jesus' priesthood is one that blesses and not curses. So are we conscious of Jesus giving to us every day? Are we alert to all his blessings coming to us from heaven to earth every day? There's so many ways that he blesses us every day. This old Indian told me, I was having some real problems. And I went to him, I don't know what to do. He said, you know, 97% of everything in your life is okay. Fundamentally, it's okay. And I thought, you are crazy. And he said, No, 97% of everything in your life is basically okay. It's that 3% that you choose to focus on that wrecks your whole day. Basically, do you have food, clothing, and shelter? If you have food, clothing, and shelter, you got 95% of the battle won. There may be some molehills in your way. And I call them molehills. A lot of people look at them as being mountains. But I got this huge problem. It's huge. It's bad. The doctor even said so. And I said, well, yeah, you've been talking about your mountain for a long time. And it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But I got to do something about it. I said, what are you going to do? You're going to sink. You need to focus on God. Start praising God. The Bible tells us to sing to ourselves spiritual hymns, building ourselves up in the Spirit. That's how we build ourselves up in the Spirit. Sing to ourselves. So we focus on God and we praise Him. What happens? That steals the avenger. That all of a sudden takes that mountain down to a molehill. You start focusing on Him and praising Him. And stop talking about the problem. Stop talking about the mountain. I tell people oftentimes, I say, you're pole vaulting over mouse turds. They made these little problems huge because that's all they focused on. And then they dream about it at night. They think about it. They meditate on it. They talk about it. They go to the coffee shop and they tell their friend about their problem. And their friend says, oh, yeah, that's bad. And then they Google it online. And their problem grows. And they keep feeding their problem with the words of their mouth by talking about it. You know, I've run around quite a bit in my time. And here recently, I ran into a lot of people. You know, there's people out there that they don't even want to vote. Because they've talked about all the negative aspects. They focused on how they stole the election. They focused on how, oh, we're just done. So there's no use in voting. There's no use in doing anything. We're just done. Why? Because they're focusing on what happened. They're focusing on just the negative things. They haven't looked and focused on the right things that have happened. They haven't looked at the Bible and seen how God causes us to be victorious. So they run around pouting, mad, give up. Why even try? As long as you can take a breath, you have a chance to win. As long as you can take a breath and can say a word, you got a chance to win. We know a lady in Wyoming that had a severe stroke, and all she could do was say covenant. That was the only word she could say. What was she doing? She was telling God she had a covenant with Him. And she just said covenant over and over and over again. And then she got better and she went to the doctor, and she was good. She was talking and walking and responding good, and everything was right. And the doctor said, you've had a major stroke. And she says, I know. He said, you're not supposed to be talking to me or walking around or moving your hands, much less be alive. He said, I know, but I have a covenant with God. That's all she could get was one word out. As long as you can get a breath in and a word out, you have a chance to win. That's what she focused on. She focused on her Savior. She focused on her covenant with God, and she won. What you focus on is going to become a reality in your life. Why don't we just come into agreement that this year is going to be even better than last year. This new year, 2024, is going to be so much fun. It's going to be so good, filled with so many blessings. And Father, we already know about the challenges that the devil is trying to throw at us, and we don't care because we stand victorious over him. We're going to get excited to watch him fail in every way he tries. We're going to rise to the occasion. We're going to have wings like eagles. We're going to soar over the storm. We're not going to just walk through the storm. We're going to soar over it. And Father, we're excited. We don't know how everything's going to happen, but we're excited to see what you have in store for us. We know that it's going to be a great time. It's going to be an exciting time. And Father, we look forward to learning more of Jesus in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have snacks.